and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is November the 21st, 2018. It is a Wednesday, so we are having a live show today. No show tomorrow. We'll be back on Friday. For those of you that are doing the holiday traditional thing, all the best to you all. And those of you that don't celebrate holidays, pretty much the best to you all as well. I'm kind of towards that latter part. So, but just want to say thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show and all of the programs that this network, known as Black Talk Radio Network, brings to you all, and greatly appreciate you all. And because of that, because of this network, we're able to have shows like Tando Radio Show and everything else that it's here on this network. But in order for that to continue, we need to support this network. And if you would, please give some of your financial energy to the network so that the network can stay vibrant and stay on air. Okay? You can do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And in that overall, the homepage, just go and find the actual donation prompt that's there, and just hit it, and then please give some of your financial energy to the network so that it could stay on air. Okay. Also, you can support the network by being a part of the social media platform. The social media platform is BTR Community. You can find it at www.btrcommunity.com, www.btrcommunity.com. And when you're there, you can become a member inside of the social media platform for only $24 yearly, one-time fee of $24 per year. And once you're there, you can engage in all of your social media activities that you would otherwise not be able to do in a form and fashion where you can monetize it. And by doing that, that will actually put you in a position where you can monetize your overall postings. You can promote yourself, your business. You can talk about social things. You can post things that you think need more attention or should have more public awareness, a general awareness. You can do that in a more holistic way. So please support BTR Community by being a member. That will support this network as well and staying on air. So please do that. Definitely want to do that. Also, you can actually, and it's a great time, and it is the time to do it, to exchange your currency for money, to acquire real money. You can do that at Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is at www.prosperitymint. It's a full-service precious metals dealership where you can acquire your overall, you can exchange your overall cash for real money, which you should be saving in. So go there, check out what's in inventory there, then email info@prosperitymint.com, and when you do that, someone will get in contact with you. Just say that you were sent by Tando Radio Show, and then definitely do that, or sent by me via Tando Radio Show, and someone will get in contact with you. And they're just the only reason why that's there is so that they can explain to you the overall buying process. Very important that you know that. Okay, so that is very, very significant. And so one second, let me just get moving on here. And once again, we have a live show for you all today. And we have our brother Pastor Keith is in the building. You know what? You're never late. You're right on time, always. Pastor Keith is in the building. At any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And we will definitely love to hear from you, okay? Ugh. So let's get going in today's show. Now, Friday's show, we're going to come back Friday. Keith, I really would like to do today's show. Let me give you just a little clue on what we're going to do with today's show. Today we're going to have a two-part show. I want to touch on some of the things that we talked about yesterday. Today's topic is the catastrophic loss event in the U.S. economy is unfolding. We're going to finish some of that. Then I want to just go over some remedies or some natural ways to treat some different things. And so I think that's very, very important. One, I'm not a doctor, nor do I pretend to be one on any show or anything such as that. And I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn or anything like that, but I know that some of the overall natural remedies actually do work. It's natural. You're natural. And so they do work. I've had great success with them, and I'm just going to talk about some of the successes that I've had, some of the things that I think that should be beneficial to you. But seek further, more schooled advice if you would like from AKA doctors or you know, there are some good doctors. There's a lot of good nurses. There are some good doctors. Find a good doctor, and a good doctor doesn't have all of the paper on the wall saying that they're certified this and that. You know, that's not establishing a good doctor. A good doctor is really established with their overall knowledge and their overall relationship with you. That is significant. So find a good doctor, find a good herbalist for sure, in my opinion, and you know, find one that does, you know, holistic things, more natural things. If I was looking for one, that's what I would do. That's just me. So take that for what it's worth for you. And so we'll talk a little bit about some of those things. So we're going to jump into what's in the news. Keith, did you have anything, Pastor, before we get going? Did you have anything that you wanted to sound off on? All right. Wow, that's amazing. Are you sure? Oh, wait, let me check. Let me warm up. All right, so we're going to jump into today's show. So today's show is catastrophic loss in the U.S. economy is unfolding. But before we do that, real quick, on Friday, we really need to talk about some of the things that's going on militarily around the world. I will definitely say is that the world is preparing definitely for major, major military confrontation, being in a World War III scenario. And these events are going to unfold, and I just want to really get you as prepared for that as possible. We'll bring some information to show that, but we're really going to focus and talk about how that could actually happen, and or the events in that happening. But it's definitely the overall logistical moves that are being made are super, super significant, and that's what it really takes to actually conduct a wartime operation is that the logistics in it, and you can't hide it. It's very, very difficult to hide logistical moves for war. You couldn't do it in World War One. You couldn't do it in World War Two. It's a little easier in today's world to do it because today's military combat zone has changed. It's actually changed. But still, all in all, it's the overall ability to hide that is not difficult at all. So we're going to take a look at that. And let me just real quickly. Let me see real quick. Before I get into what's in the news. One sec, you all. Hopefully. Yeah. Okay, cool. So we'll, one sec. Fix my computer here. Oh boy. Yeah, since I'm looking at some a YouTube video that was published by a just a regular day person. Keith, want to come around, take a look at this, and we're going to really have to take talk about this. And I don't want to. I'll post this all tomorrow, but I'm looking at a massive logistical move of combat assets. And so we really need to talk about and have everybody prepared for this. And so you see that, Keith?
Yeah, and Kip, remember, Dave, I sent you another couple of photos other than that.
Yeah.
I sent you one of them right here in Dallas.
Yeah.
And I sent you another one out in Arizona.
Yeah.
So these are going on all over the place.
Yeah, they definitely are. And I remember I sent Roz after he was doing a seminar from here in Dallas, where there was a lot of military hardware that was on the move. It was earlier this year. And then one thing about military buildup for a major, you have to build up for that over a very long period of time. It's not something that is done right away.
And also remember the one that you shared with the one out in Arizona when they said they were getting ready for their convoy. But you
caravan
major artillery pieces, et cetera, et
cetera. Yeah, yeah. And in that area where it is all desolate desert. The only thing after there from that overall area is actually the Mexican border. But there are military bases, installations there. But the way that the trains were moving, they were going away from those. Because California is geographically set up that once you know how it's set up, once you know where the mountains are, the mountains are depending on where you are, and the only way that that train could have been going for it to be traveling, that train was traveling south because the mountains were behind it,
away from
the military installations, and in the actual mountains are in the north, and they were going away from the overall mountains. And not only that, the time of the day, it told you that it was actually in the morning and the sun was in the east. So that gave you clear cut indication as what direction that daggone train was going, because the sun was in the east. So that means that they were traveling south. So yeah, so we're definitely going to pick up on that on Friday. We won't have a show tomorrow, so we'll definitely get into it. All right, so let's jump into this whole thing. Let me get my situation set up here. All right, so what's in the news? Here we go. First article from RT International. China just dumped the biggest load of U.S. treasuries in 8 months. So we'll talk about that, because this is all about the overall catastrophic loss event in the U.S. economy is unfolding. So we'll check that one out. And then also I put in the Treasury's books up until September with the overall debt, who's holding what debt. So, and you can see the overall progressive dumping of U.S. treasuries. Next article from Sputnik News comes, U.S. scrambles to counter growing Chinese and Russian influence in Latin America. Check out that article. This one, subtitle, is the U.S. Air Force Chief of Staff has said that both China and Russia are ready to step in to fill a power vacuum in Latin America left by Washington. The United States should pay more attention to Latin America, lest China and Russia take root in the region. They already have. And I think that's what the overall military assets that were moving in that direction, that southern direction from California, in California, in the Salton Sea, Mexicali area, that overall military hardware was going to be moving just for that, to have engagement with China, Russia directly, and their overall allies and their new allies. And some of their new allies, in my opinion, is going to be Mexico, Guatemala, Panama, Cuba, and Venezuela. And I definitely anticipate that Argentina and Brazil will definitely come around. Brazil has a new celebrity figurehead president-elect. He's known as the Donald Trump of the South, but don't think he's going to be able to hold up there. So check out that article. Next article comes from Washington Post. Jing launches Philippines charm offensive as China looks to dislodge the U.S. influence. And this is significant because this is all economically as well, but it's militarily as well. So what's happening is that on November the 20th at 8 a.m. at the Asian summit last week. Oh, no, that was from yesterday. At the Asian summit last week, Vice President Pence and Chinese President Xi Jinping traded barbs as they both delivered dual versions of the Asian Pacific title towards one of the two poles, the United States or China. Hours later, the Chinese leader hit the road on the Southeast Asian charm offensive. And so basically, China is making good inroads in that overall region. Of course they would. So that region is significant, and that region is very, very significant in the overall economic stronghold of the global economy, which means that the U.S. is losing its pace, which means there's going to be catastrophic losses here from that. So check out that article. Next article, got this one from orientalreview.com. And this one says, the geopolitical strategy of the U.S. global hegemony by a notorious Russia-phobe Zbigniew Brzezinski. And I call him Zbig. Zbig has made the great transformation, and me, myself, I don't mind that he did. Zbig, his daughter is on MSNBC. Remember, we played it one time, she said that it's our job to tell the people what to think. She's, I can't remember, is it NBC or yeah, it's NBC or MSNBC. She's on MSNBC. The anchor with the kind of German accent. I don't remember her name, but what do you mean? What she look like?
Is she a regular?
Yeah, she's a regular. She's on with that one guy, Scarborough or what's?
Oh, old girl's daughter.
Yes.
You're talking about Brzezinski?
Yeah, Brzezinski. Yeah, Zbig's daughter. Yeah, and I'm going to find something. This is going to be for the military one. But I'm going to tell you, Zbig was significant in Obama, Clinton, Carter, Reagan, and all of their administrations. He was a notorious war hawk. He was the Democrats' John Bolton for war. But he was much more demented than anyone that I've ever seen. Bolden is probably hidden much more, but Zbig was probably much more deadlier and much more acute in his overall sociopathic views. I'll never forget at a Council for Foreign Relations, at a CFR luncheon, and we'll play it on Friday. Z-Big said these words. Z-Big said that, and I've said it many times here. He said, in the past, it was infinitely easier to control millions of people. But now, it's infinitely easier to kill. In the past, it was easier to control millions of people than it was to kill millions of people. Now it is infinitely easier to kill millions of people than it is to control. In that whole speech that he had there, he was talking about how there was an awakening. He called and he said this, and I'm quoting him verbatim. There is a global awakening. And that quote meant that people around the world were waking up to the overall governmental controlling mechanisms, and they were becoming more keen. And that was a big threat to the establishment, and that it would be easier now because of that, because you can't control those individuals because of the global awakening that's threatening them, that now is time to kill millions of people. And he said it boldly and outwardly. He suggested that. And in suggesting that, he was actually saying it. And remember, this individual was a national security advisor for Democrats and Republican president up until his overall death. But yeah, which was relatively recent. He died, I believe, in 2012.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Well, check it out, Keith. I think it was 2012.
Come close to spelling that name. Let's see.
And I'll look it up right here. So, but that's that article is, we'll carry that one later on. Let me see. Here it is.
I think he just died last year, Dave.
No, I don't think it was last year.
I think he did.
Keith, you may be right, but I don't think so. 1 second. One second, and didn't mean to hold it up. So, once Keith and I get going on things, we can't. And it was, 1 second, here it is. You're right, Keith, it's 2017. So, yeah, Keith was right, 2017. So, okay, so kudos to my man Keith. Kudos to my man Keith. Okay, so we're going to keep going now. So next article, this one comes from CNBC, Criminals Nothing But Criminals. Trump just released a big statement about sticking with Saudi Arabia despite Khashoggi's killing. So I guess the CIA said, yeah, MBS did do it. And Trump is saying, well, there's millions of jobs and dollars that's on the line. And let me just say this, and I'll say this about celebrity figurehead Trump. Many of you don't like him, but I'm going to tell you what I do like about Trump. There's a lot that I like about Trump.
A lot.
I did not mince my words.
A lot.
There is a lot that I like about Trump.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing this.
Okay. Here's the things that I like about Trump is that Trump is giving you every single clue that things are about to completely collapse by way of war and by way of the economy and so many things. That is what I do truly, truly appreciate. Because now, because of Trump, there's more people in the community that is more aware that, uh-oh, things ain't going good. And that is really a benefit. That is a huge benefit. Now, I didn't say I like Trump. I said there's a lot of things I like about Trump. And the thing about Trump that I like is that it gives people an awareness that, uh-oh, one of the things that I didn't like about and what I didn't like about Obama was that people were blinded. initially because of the so-called historical event of him being this celebrity figurehead CEO. And that caused people to have a more of a sense of an ennui towards everything that was going on. And I really do appreciate Trump, because Trump is running, trying to have an administration run like a
Gestapo.
Well, yes, and so Keith said that, but yes, but it wasn't him that put in the Gestapo tactics for it to be used. It was actually actually adjudicated further off. But he's creating it. One sec, Scotty. He's creating it. He's running it like a private company where there is no autonomy. And so that is the worst thing that you really want from an individual, because he's running it like as if I can do whatever I want to do, corruption, side deals, and all the things, yeah, as a dictatorship, right? And it's really, really apparent. Scotty wanted to chime in. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Did I miss Scotty? Scotty, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that delay right there. Somebody was speaking to me. Actually, today I was thinking about this yesterday, and I actually saw one of the news agencies put out a report where they were questioning, and they were talking about, you know, Trump's love for dictators or people that we label as dictators. And sometimes the word does apply. The label does fit. For example, that guy out there in the Philippines, you know, rounding up people, shooting them in the head in the street for just using drugs or being addicted to drugs.
Right.
I don't care what your moral or health stance is on drugs. Like you said, Dave, you say it so perfectly. As long as that drug addict isn't intruding upon my rights, what gives me the right to shoot him in the head because I don't like that he use any kind of drug? And why stop at drugs? Why are you stopping at drugs? Why are you not pulling everybody out the bar and shooting them in the head or what have you?
That's the key point.
Why you not pulling out all the Johns that's coming over there for the sex trafficking and shooting them in the head? Why are you targeting?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so when in the midst of him doing this, he was doing this before Trump came into office. But when Trump came into office, Trump said he doing a great job. He told this guy, Duterte, or however you pronounce his name, you're doing a great job. Trump wish he could do those things here. He really is pushing the envelope here, man. You know, talking about writing executive orders to get rid of the 14th Amendment. You know, just that and so many other things that I would say rise to a constitutional crisis. You know what I'm saying? But this guy wishes that he had a military that was loyal to him. Like, let's say the Philippine military is loyal. Because without the military backing, no president, no figurehead could be doing anything like pulling people out in the street and shooting them in the head. No trial, no jury. I mean, okay, let's say that you passed a law to make drugs a capital offense. Okay, give him a trial at least, but I'm just saying, man, that's how bad it has been in the Philippines and nobody's really paying attention. And Trump admires stuff like that. That's why he ain't going off. That's why he don't want to listen to the tape or he knows that MBS had that journalist killed. But again, he wants to be able to do that kind of stuff. He has that kind of, jealousy, not the admiration for people with that kind of power. So because he's a narcissist, man. He really is scary, man. I mean, I know he dumb and stupid, but that's what makes him even scarier.
Yeah, he is narcissistic. And Scotty, you laid out the reasons why I like Trump, because he's bold. When I say there's things I like about him, I don't like him. I needed to rephrase that because Pastor almost fell out of his chair. He's bold in that whole thing, because if you know he's not hiding
anything that he really wants to do, because he.
I don't think he knows any better, Dave. I don't think he knows anybody. I think he really is a puppet, and he's the perfect puppet for whoever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All he's doing is reprising his role from when he was a WWE promoter. Sit up there, talk big, bad, yep. We going to beat you up, we going to kill you, we going to do this and that. But no, man, the guy is a legitimate domestic threat, though. When you start talking, he just really is. But I leave it there, man.
No, and Scotty, I'm glad you said it, because that's exactly the sentiment that I had. Keith, did you want to chime in?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I agree with everything Scotty said. I halfway agree with what you're saying, Dave. I don't think Trump gets any credit. And the reason why I don't think Trump gets any credit is because if you look at 90% of everything he's doing, mm-hmm. it's still hidden. The only reason why it's coming out mm-hmm. is because the environment and things are getting so bad that people are noticing it because it's affecting their lifestyle.
Yeah.
It don't have nothing to do with that underhanded crook being bold because – again, if you look at what he's done with civil rights, if he's done look what he's done with the environment, if you look what he's done with selling of the government lands to private entities, if you look what he's done to all that, nobody's hearing about that.
Yeah.
So he's doing all this stuff under the table. It's just that things are starting to show themselves, not because of that idiot, just because they can't not be shown anymore.
Yeah. And what I was saying. Keith, yeah, because there's a lot of things that's being hidden. I tell you, his son-in-law, Jared, is a major, 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 major. Him and his daughter are major, major threats to national security.
Evil.
Yeah, and so, but the thing is that what I'm saying is that it's like Scotty said, and Scotty said what I was alluding to. He is the perfect puppet because they looked at his narcissistic way of living throughout his life. I totally forgot about him being in the WWF until Scotty said that. But I know that he's been great in bankrupting. He's the bankruptcy expert. Yeah, he knows how to go through bankruptcy. And so he's that type of CEO that you would hire just to take your company through bankruptcy. And so guess what happened? He's perfect for that here. And so And he's been that spoiled child.
His whole life.
His whole life. No one has ever told him no. So in not telling him no, he thinks he knows everything. And he has no clue of how the ramifications of this or that, nor does he really care. Because he considers himself able to, whenever someone says that they're a deal maker, you got to always be careful of that individual. Because in business at that type of level, deal making is actually cultivating real corruption. I mean, corruption at the highest level. So do you think Russia didn't know that they were going to get in good with him being there and all this? Yeah, he's a really real threat to what's happening. And the bad thing about it is that get ready for him to be a celebrity figurehead president for more than 8 years. Try maybe like 12 years or maybe 10 years. He's going to have a third term. He's going to have a third term because of war. He's going to have a third term because of war. And his boldness and his admirations of dictator. Remember when we did the show not too long ago, what did his former wife say that he had? What book he used to read all the time?
My Account.
But she said he admired what Scotty said. He had admiration for Hitler.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she didn't say what type of admiration for Hitler. But we already know because as Scotty said, with Duarte in the Philippines. Killing people, executing people for using drugs and everything. It's like Scotty said, why aren't we all the global community outraged at that? When, you know, what's the difference between that being a black person That being a, you know, the overall situations in the criteria of the overall drug addiction and drug use in the world, it was actually a government plan, and that's who benefits from it the most, is the overall pharmaceutical companies and the establishment itself. So that's who really created it. And you think about how many things are we all addicted to. Chief, you're addicted to white sugar, all that candy you eat and everything else. But it's so many things. So now they're gonna move to that. So it's a matter of quamming and squashing rebellion.
I see it slightly different than you, Dave.
That's cool.
And the reason why I see it slightly different is I think we're definitely on the path of death and destruction. But I don't see that to be a slow burn. In order for him to be in that position for 8, 12 years, you'd have to have a slow burn. I don't think it'll be a slow burn. I think we're coming up on a short fuse into an explosion.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I think that in a very short period of time, the government and everything that we know it is going to explode, and he's going to explode with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to say, now, I don't think that thing's going to be peachy king after that time.
Yeah.
By no stretch. But I don't see Donald Trump leading that charge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be an explosion. And within a year.
Yeah. Okay, Keith.
So I just don't see him being at that reign for 6-8 years. Think about it. How long was Hitler at the reign?
I can't remember. Wasn't that long?
It wasn't that long. And he had a much better understanding and grasp that Trump ever will.
Yeah. But the overall, the thing about Germany, why it was a little different is that Germany didn't have the over 800 bases throughout the whole world at that time.
But I think that was an advantage for Germany.
Yeah.
Just, so, again, I think because of that, you're looking at an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see Donald Trump being at the head for several years because of all the catastrophe or what catastrophic things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he were, somebody would take him out one way or another. And the problem is nobody likes Donald Trump.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Well, except for, his little cadre. But that cadre that he has, they're not the ones running this stuff.
No.
They're just part of the elements being used to divide and conquer among everything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that's being used to start this with this dissension between, animate the black thing and the white thing and all of that. They're just part of all of that chaos being created.
Mm-hmm.
They're not on top of this fold.
What year is this?
2018.
So I would say that Trump is going to be here into 2024-23.
I said he'll be gone in a year and a half.
No, I think, in my opinion, I got yours. I think he'll will move into what have been a third term. So I think he has 6 years, right? It'll be 6 years. He's already in his third year now.
This is only, you're right, but 6 years will only be two terms.
Okay, so I think he'll have seven or eight years. Here's why.
Well, no, listen, 8 years is only two terms.
No, but he's already in this term now, so I'm saying.
Oh, so eight years from that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, eight years in total.
Okay.
7 years, 7 to 8 years in total. Here's why. You said a slow burn, right? And a fast burn. Right, you said it's going to be a fast burn.
I think it's going to be an explosion.
Okay, yeah. An explosion. I agree with that. But even in that fast burn, in that overall explosion, that overall takes about 7 to 8 years. Think about how fast 10 years go by. I mean, you've been around for about eight of those, so you know how fast they go by. So I definitely see that the war starting next year.
So that will be late next year. Before the spring, first quarter, second quarter, the war being evident that it started.
Okay.
Then there will be the buildup from that event. Then it will get really going sometime after that. And then it's going to take, and that's a quick, fast burn, to have the complete move of the overall before the U.S. actually has to surrender in war. It's going to take a couple of years. It's going to take a couple of years.
Okay, a couple of years.
And so in that couple of years, it's not going to take 1 year, 2 years in that overall engagement. That engagement is probably going to take 3 to 4 years, and then in the fifth and sixth year of that war, it's quite evident that they'll know that they've lost the war in year three. But the overall unwinding of that is going to take a while. Because they're going to go in initially with some allies and then slowly start to lose those allies, and everything is going to start to turn. And so I agree with you. It's going to be a quick burn. But 8 years from now, 8-9 years from now is really not far off at all. It's really not far off. It goes by quick. So 8 years, 5 years from now, it puts us in what? 2022. 2023. Right? 4 years from that puts us into 2027. By 2026, 2025, it's pretty much done. The U.S. could be totally, totally changed. And I do see him making maybe 1 year of what have been a third term, because there will be no second term election. This next term election, there will be none. I don't think there will be any.
So hopefully I'm wrong. That to happen,
that means
you're looking at a total state of martial law and absolute military state.
You would look at. I definitely believe that there will be a declared war by time the overall election gets into place.
So how long do you think that it'll take for the world to annihilate the United States? Because I think basically that's what's going to happen.
Or reconfigure it and beat it into submission.
Okay. With that being said,
mm-hmm.
I see that being no more than 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And the reason being is because if we look at World War II, what are you looking at? You're looking at basically
4 or 5 years.
Okay.
4 or 5 years, right.
I don't see the world allowing Trump to maintain that position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just don't.
Yeah.
So even if he was able to hold on all that other time, I think that the world would say, oh no, you are no longer in charge.
Yeah.
Because at that point in time, he's going to suffer through countless, he already is,
mm-hmm.
World crimes, mm-hmm. global crimes, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way that he's going to be able to retain that position after. And I don't see that being no longer than 5 years tops.
Well, I would disagree, because I think the system needs him to be the perfect reason to dissolve the U.S. and maintain global control around the world.
Say that again.
That they need, the system really needs Donald Trump to be the overall part of the overall figurehead of why the world needs to purge itself of the U.S.
That's not going to be done.
They already know. Yes, and I think it's going to be done through a war. And I think that the war first is going to go conventional. Going to be conventional,
which is, to me, I'd rather it not be conventional. I'd rather for it to just
hey, Keith.
I'm just saying.
Well, then don't just say it. No, I'm just playing. But yeah,
my thing is conventional war.
We're going to see two wars: World War III and then GNW1, Global Nuclear War One.
Really? You don't see them being one and the same?
No.
So you almost see a reenactment of World War One, World War Two.
Yes, but not in that overall thought process, but actually the declaration of war, countries declaring war against each other in that overall stance. And I do think that they'll have a part of their agreement would be that this will this will not be, nuclear weapons will not be used in this overall engagement. Then that's going to be violated.
See, and again, that kind of brings up the point that I was saying, why I don't...
We need to have this on Friday.
Well, I was going to say, I wouldn't like to see a conventional war because, again, everything you're talking about, they can do that through cyber attack.
Yeah.
They can clear this whole thing out with the cyber attack.
Right. Well, see, the cyber attacking is what's going to prompt the overall nuclear exchange.
Which is why I'm saying I wouldn't even... We can skip over the conventional warfare. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. And the deaths is going to be incomprehensible. I think we lost...
In certain regions of the world, yes, it's going to be huge.
Well, I think World War II, mm-hmm. if I can recall correctly, is about 200 million.
I want you to save that recall that you have for Friday.
All right.
So I think you need to write that down. But no, finish with you. So it was 2 million.
200 million.
200 million.
I think it was about 200 million.
I don't know. I used to know the numbers on that. It's going to take me a little time. I know that it was pretty high, and then that number that they always report is always conservatively extremely low.
Sure,
it's much higher than that. So yeah, definitely could see 200 million.
Well, I say this one is going to surpass a billion.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you, Keith. I say that is going to move into the 1.5. What's the population of the world now?
I think it's about 6.9.
Yeah, 6.9, so it's about 7. I can definitely see somewhere between 1.5 and 2.5 billion lost or murdered, summarily murdered by this system, because that's, war is nothing more than a depopulation program by serial killers, political serial killers. And until we realize that and look at that and stop allowing the people that create laws that they don't have to obey, write laws that they don't have to obey, create debt that they don't have to pay, and declare wars that they don't have to fight, until we realize that as a global community, 99.9% of all of the casualties of war are going to be people that had nothing to do with really creating that environment.
Sure.
And we have to look at this as a global serial killing event. These are serial killers. Before we get outraged about the serial killers of the past, from, I don't know, some of them from the Night Stalker, Bundy and all, before you even look at those individuals, you better look at the ones that really matter. Because their overall body count continues to rise, and we really do know who they are, but we've been institutionalized never ever to question and to bring them to an account and make them responsible for what it is they do. Because they're able to do it because of our overall engagement and how we engage with all. So in a way, we're complicit in this whole thing. The people aren't actually doing it, but what they're doing is that they're allowing and not coming together, because it's difficult to do that. It's a cost that is involved with standing up to this type of thing. We feel that it is that they are in a position of authority that represents our best interest, and until we shake that overall facade and that lie, this is going to continue to go. So, we move kind of, but yeah, we're going to definitely pick this up for sure. So let me get to some of the things of what's in the news so we can get into today's show, Keith, but we don't have to stay there. If we need to be here, then we need to be here. So next article. This one comes from RT International. Time for equity investors to cash in their chips, Goldman Sachs says. Check out that article. Next article, this one comes from Bloomberg. Very, very critical one, Keith. Credit shows deep cracks from leveraged loans to junk bonds.
And this one's from Bloomberg. The cracks in credit market are growing deep. This is huge. This is where it is really going to cost for the displacement of everything here. So check out that article as well. Next article we got from CNBC, criminals nothing but criminal. Dow plunges more than 500 points in the races, early gains, the race gains of 2018. So, but I haven't checked. Let me check with, have you checked anything right now? Let me see what's going on. I'm not really worried about the stock market. I'm worried about the effect of all of this is going to have on everyone else, really. So let me see. One second. I wanted to see what, let me pull CNBC up real quickly and see what's happening there. And so, but you know what, Chief, we were touching on, I think it's really critical that we do touch on this whole war paradigm, because it's, and forgive me, Chief, if I change up the show, but it's really, really important, because the likelihood of, so they say that the overall market is rough. Let me just, the so they're saying that the market is slightly rallying now, but that rally is going to be short lived with everything that's going on. So, Keith, you know, when we really start talking about things, I was listening to, we probably really need to put some time into this and put some time into getting people prepared with some of the herbal things that they should be having, because, and I'm saying that because those herbal things that you could be using now, there you can find them now, but in the future you won't be able to find them because the market will actually be difficult to supply it. When the just-in-time delivery system no longer delivers. And believe me, they're going to massively inundate the market with pharmaceuticals. And you know what? I'm going to change the show up. We're going to have to go into this whole thing today because I think it's important. In talking about Donald Trump and this whole war paradigm, it's in the time frame. During that time, there are going to be there are going to be extreme changes in our quality of life and standard of living. Extreme, almost Stone Age. It could be, yeah. And this is just my opinion. I'm not, you know, taking away from anything that you're saying. Yeah, it could be. And you really think about it, it really is. You're absolutely right. It's more of a Stone Age lifestyle, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, because in the Stone Age you had to know things. If you had a stomach ache, you had to know what herbs there was that you could use to ease that, or if you got a cut or something else, you had to know how to treat that. There was a knowledge of the environment that you had to have in order for you to be able to sustain and survive on a day. So a Stone Age would not be a bad, you know, analogy or way of looking at it.
Or at least 1800s. Let's do that.
Yeah.
You know, log cabins and your own own fire for heat and, you know.
Sure, and your own means of making, of sustainable energy sources, without a doubt. And to me, it's going to be, like you said, 1800 Stone Age with a technology caveat. With a technology caveat and a current day caveat to it. Meaning this, the pharmaceutical companies can't wait for the war to start.
They got everything in place.
They are going to explode. Some of the horrific drugs, what they call illegal drugs and legal drugs, you're not going to be able to distinguish the difference between the two.
I saw that there were some drugs that actually, I was looking at some of the side effects on some of the things, and what it did, it caused, what did it say? Gangrene in the genitals of people is one pharmaceutical drug. See, this is the slow process. There are going to be new drugs that it's actually going to, some of the drugs are probably going to be so horrific, psychologically horrific, to where it will act as a bacteria and start to dissolve the body. Some of that is already out, but it's going to be in a very, it's going to be more readily available. It's going to be amazing of how the supply chain cracks, breaks down, except for certain new pharmaceutical drugs.
And, so they're going to take caveat emptor to a whole different level.
Yes. Your Roundup, people are probably, they're going to have a new way for people to get high actually off of Roundup. And just it will change, people will become, you will see people coming as lepers from their overall, like have a form of chemical-induced leprosy. And you're probably going to have stuff that's going to have like a walking Ebola type situation where it's
I think you're gonna have worse. You know how you talked about You know how you talked about they always prepare us for what's coming?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you go back 6, 7, 8 years ago when you started looking at The Walking Dead and how, well, you can imagine what your mind thought about when all that stuff started coming out. But remember, Dave, at this point in time, we have instances of people eating faces and doing all these stuff, mm-hmm. just like The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And when they got some of these individuals, what was it? It was drug induced.
Yeah, bath salts.
It was drug induced.
Yeah.
So I think literally, I think there's so much truth in what you were saying that they're getting them ready. I think what you're about to see is you're about to see literally a Walking Dead scenario that's drug induced.
Yeah.
Now, I know that sounds like way out there, but we're already starting to see it.
The truth of the matter is you've already seen evidence of it.
You
don't have to look on the silver screen to it's actually been realistically played out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one thing, I just looked in the chat room. Scotty said, I think he will resign or announce he's not seeking a second term. I think he'd rather be on a golf course or with his porn friends. Yeah, because he's got his deals. He wanted his deals. The one thing about narcissistic people in sociopaths is that they love power
and they love that spotlight, especially him.
And the power reigns that could be done and used under martial law and war acts and everything else is huge. But what he doesn't realize is that martial law scenario actually takes and nullifies him in so many means, in so many ways. It nullifies him from what has been written now, how it's been changed, posse comitatus, and how the overall engagement in national security has changed. It actually moves into military control completely.
Yeah.
It really, really does. And so,
especially in this case, because if you look at all the people that he's placing in these positions, they're military people.
Yeah.
And if you go all the way back to look at the writings on that, that was the specific reason why they excluded military personnel from those positions.
Yeah.
So he's digging his own grave.
Yeah. I totally, totally, totally agree. So we're going to, listen, we got to get ready to go into a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty, give me 2 minutes, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. Dave, you still there? I lost my audio, it seems. Hello?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm still here. I you didn't hear anything, Scotty?
No, I'm sorry. I was kind of distracted.
No, that wasn't you. That was me. I had myself on mute the whole time. For how long? Since we came out the break. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So, thanks, guys. So, that's why Scotty didn't hear me. And I thought I didn't take myself off mute. All right, so we just went through the whole thing. All right, what I'm going to do, Scotty, I posted something that's real short, but I want to, for our audience to hear Z-Big from a different, let me put the one that the first one is really, really short. I'll play that one, but I think it'd be better if Scotty played the second one because of the audio. Content. Hold on 1 second. I messed that up, y'all. Here it is. I went through this whole thing. Okay, so here we go. Let me play this. This one is only 1 minute and about 34 seconds, and then the other one was like 2 minutes, and we'll play that. So let me play that. I'm so sorry. Here we go. Let me set up everything. Got everything set up. Okay, here we go. That was Keith's fault. Let me just say that. Here we go. This is going to be Z-Big. He was a senior advisor for President Obama. And this was a speech he gave in November the 17th of 2008.
Over the politically elected masses of the world is an historical law. I once quoted rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people. Literally, it was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely to kill a million people than to control a million people. Today.
Okay, so now let me set the table with this. Now, that was Z-Big at a luncheon that he gave. And this is what he said, and I'm going to go to that luncheon so you can hear a little bit more. What he was talking about government control of people. And he was saying that the overall governments have far more military capability and ability to kill now. But what they don't have is the ability to control. And the word control is much important. You always hear me talk about control is always more important than ownership. Because control is the ability to enslave. Ownership gives you the rights of the controller, what the controller has given you. That is the, Scotty said it best yesterday when he said that you have property rights, but have no control over the property. And gave the example with the trailer. And I said that the trailer gives you control over the property because you can move it. It gives you more control than ownership because you can move it. Okay? So what Z-Big was saying is that the governments are infinite, that they're much, much stronger. But in that strength militarily, they're much weaker. Because strength is not military. Strength is always in control. And he says that they have more capabilities, but they don't have the ability to control people. And this is where he went into where it's easier. He was talking about government and their overall position. It's infinitely easier now to kill a million people than it is to control them. In the past, it was easier to control a million people than to kill them. Their militaries weren't as strong and as capable as they are now, but they still had more control over the people. So with that, I want you to hear Z-Big talk about this global awakening. And I'm going to post it so Scotty can play that one, because that the audio in that one is a little, it needs Scotty to play. No, not that one, Scotty. Hey, Scotty, no, not that one. I'm gonna send it to you. Sorry about that. That was that's when I was on mute. I'm gonna send you this one. Sorry about that, Scotty. Hear this one. This one is 2 minutes and 30 seconds, but he really does talk about the control mechanism. And he's going to talk about, and this was actually done in 2010. This was him speaking in 2010. And I just, let me pull it back up real quickly, y'all. I'm so sorry. I messed that up. And it will take us into the break. All right. So what I'm going to have to do is, here it is. Okay. So here we go. Send this to Scotty. Here we go. This is 4 minutes long. Take it into the break. Take us right up to the break. I want you to hear Z-Big. Here we go, Scotty. I'm gonna send it to you. No, not that one, Scotty. It's the one I just sent. Sorry about that, Scotty. It's the one I just sent. So just to lay it out.
My perspective, that geopolitical context is very much defined by two new global realities. The first is that global political leadership, by which I mean the role of certain leading powers in the world, has now become much more diversified, unlike what it was until relatively recently. Relatively recently still, the world was dominated by the Atlantic world, as it had been for many centuries. It no longer is. Today, the rise of the Far East has created a new, but much more differentiated global leadership, one which in a nutshell involves, if one can hazard, an arbitrary list of the primary players in the world scene, the United States, clearly, maybe next to it, but maybe the European Union. I say maybe because it is not yet a political entity. Certainly, increasingly so, and visibly so, China. Russia, mainly in one respect only, because it is a nuclear power co-equal to the United States, but otherwise very deficient in all of the major indices of what constitutes global power. Behind Russia, perhaps individually, but to a much lesser extent, Germany, France, Great Britain, Japan, certainly, although it does not have a politically assertive posture, India is rising. And then in the background of that, we have the new entity of G20, a much more diversified global leadership, lacking internal unity with many of its members in bilateral antagonisms. That makes the context much more complicated. The other major change in international affairs is that for the first time in all of human history, mankind is politically awakened. That's a total new reality. Total new reality. It has not been so for most of human history until the last 100 years. And in the course of the last 100 years, the whole world has become politically awakened. And no matter where you go, politics is a matter of social engagement. And most people know what is generally going on in the world, and are consciously aware of global iniquities, inequalities, lack of respect, exploitation. Mankind is now politically awakened and stirring. The combination of the two, a diversified global leadership, politically awakened masses, makes a much more difficult context for any major power, including currently the leading world power, the United States.
I really enjoyed your presentation, but I'm wondering, how would you rate the United Nations and helping solve some of the geopolitical problems we've had? Some people say they're not adding a lot of solutions, and some people even suggest we should have another organization internationally that can do the job that the United Nations should be doing. And even people are talking about one world governments. I mean, how do you view the UN right now?
Well, you know, there should be such an organization. The word should implies that there is a kind of moral imperative or need for it. But it doesn't exist. Why doesn't it exist? Because...
Okay, so before we go into the commercial break, that overall clip was the big...
Spare us the virtue signaling from liberal and conservative...
That was Zbig in 2010. I hope you picked up on a lot of what he was saying. There were some very significant things that he was saying. Then when we come out of the commercial break, we're going to talk about him, because this was 2010, but he was actually telling what is happening right now. A lot of the things that he said then have come to pass in a much, much bigger way. And we need to go over those in the show, that the overall war climate is really, really, really big. And it's really here, because there were some significant things that he said there that we're going to touch into. Then we'll probably pick back up on Friday on everything. But I would love this speech goes along with it was goes hand. We heard parts of the same speech at the same dinner event. This was just 4 minutes of it. It's a whole lot longer. But I'm going to play later on next week another portion of it, another 2 or 3 minutes of it, so you can see the chronicleation of everything, and it comes into full fruition as to where we are now. So listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Excuse my, Keith, I'm going to blame it on Keith. Yeah, Keith did it. Keith messed up the overall, it was my fault. I muted and I didn't come back off mute coming back from the break. And we, Keith and I had gone was talking about this. So we just played Zbig from 2010. And what you heard earlier, he said that it was easier in the past to control 1 million people than it was to kill 1 million people. Now it's infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than to control 1 million people. And he talked about the overall governments have that ability now. But what they don't have is the ability to control people. But it's much easier for them to kill them now. And so that's an engagement. He talked about in the second video, he was talking about the overall geopolitical changes in the world. Basically saying that in 2010 that the U.S. was still the superpower, but was going to start to meet challenges. But each of those challengers didn't have the full capability to supplant the U.S. Well, since 2010 and now, those overall challenges have been met and they've supplanted. Case in point, you remember he said Russia didn't have, it's a superpower, a nuclear superpower on par with the U.S., but it doesn't have the manufacturing capability to become an economic superpower. Well, because of the BRIC nations, that has been nullified. Now they do. China's being the biggest threat, but they didn't have the overall capability to supersede the U.S. Well, they passed the U.S., and they're the number one economy. The U.S. is not the number one economy, so they supplanted that. There was one thing that was very significant. He said the EU. He said the EU was a threat, but they haven't actually come together as of yet. That was really the biggest threat. because the EU has a bigger economy and has everything that it needs. It has nuclear weapons. It has manufacturing. It has relationships with Russia now. He said the EU, but he didn't chronicleize that back then. He said because of the historical differences that they haven't come together. Well, they have now. And he was talking about because some of the EU countries actually went to war, and there's old bitter feelings about that. They've come together now, the EU. And what is the EU doing now? The EU is standing up to the U.S. on the sanctions against Iran because of the overall breaking of the nuclear treaty, right? And so they're siding with Iran. So now they've been unified, and they've been unified against the U.S. Then he said Germany and France. See, he was telling you things that was going to be happening in the future that he already knew about, but he was saying that they weren't, but in actuality, they were. And if you really listen to what he was saying also, he said something very important. He said that the government, there's a political awakening that's happening around the world like it's never been in 100 years. People are more politically aware now.
He said 100 years? What did he say?
In 100 years. He said in 100 years.
What made them so politically aware 100 years ago?
I don't think that they weren't. I think what happens 100 years ago, people were more sustainable, self-sustaining. And in being self-sustaining, you didn't have the overall time to really put into what was really going on around the world. And it was difficult for you to validate that truth. In today's today's world, even though there's a lot of falsehoods that's in the internet and everything else, but sometimes it's much easier to substantiate or validate what's going on because you can have direct contact with someone across the pond and find out some of the things that's going on or get a different version. You see what I'm saying, Keith? So he said 100 years ago, now people are more aware than they were 100 years ago. And that is becoming a problem for the government itself. And he said that people's political awareness is critical. What he basically was saying, and this is what I heard. He was basically saying this because of that him and his comrades and his cohorts have used the political arena as the Civil War battleground. And this is where where you can have civil war on the political front.
Wait. Are you talking about a domestic or are you talking about a global?
Both. Oh, shoot. Sorry about that, y'all. I'm muted by myself. Keith said, are you talking about global, or domestic or global? And I'm talking about both. Global from the sense is that you can bring division politically to different parts of the world. And has been very effective here, has it not? Because for me, some of the real battlegrounds for the Civil War that is going to be seen here is going to be motivated by the political arena. So they were able to weaponize politics. And that was really, really important. And then he also said, he talked about people are becoming aware to the overall government. He didn't say the word government, but that's what he meant. The iniquities, the fraud, the exploitation of the governments, and the people are becoming aware of those things. And when they become aware of those things, now you can't control them anymore. They become a direct threat. And he laid all of that out there, but in the other parts of this luncheon that he had, he speaks more to that directly. And in this speech, he actually talks about what you heard earlier, when it's infinitely easier to kill people. But how he laid it out and chronicalized it, he basically was telling what the overall agenda of the governments were and what you were going to see going forward in the future. And guess what? They've come to pass exactly as Z-Big has said at that luncheon, pretty much almost to the T. What was the significant parts of what Z-Big was saying? He basically was saying is that people around the world are waking up to the overall enslavement mentality, I mean the enslavement agenda of governments. And that is the biggest threat to the governments themselves. That's what they're going to have to face.
Okay, so with that being said, and I think it's important to point this out in light of the conversation that we're having, because of the way the focus of the mind works and hear what we're hearing.
Yes.
And listening to this conversation, are we not missing the point that why do these people have to be controlled in the first place?
Right, Chief.
You know, so you're looking at a underlying evil that you might miss just listening to this conversation.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you think of the fact that supposedly this government was based on the people, for the will of the people, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
While they're talking about a total global disaster because they can't control the people. Why do people need to be controlled?
See, and Keith, I'm glad you said that, because what Z-Big, in my overall opinion, was talking about, we the people. See, the general population and citizens here in the U.S., when they read the overall Declaration of Independence and everything, when they hear that we the people, they think that's them.
Yeah.
What Z-Big was saying was that we the people,
the people that matter,
the people that are in line and that he serviced and that the Constitution was actually written for,
the people that matter,
the people that matter, yes. See, there's a play on words that we have to understand, and because they tell you everything if you just learn their language. When they talk about we the people, they're not talking about the citizens, because he determined, he already gave the difference, the differentiate. I mean, forget it. I mean, can't say it right now.
Differentiate.
Say it again, Keith.
Differentiate.
Differentiate. Right. Differentiated the two. Here's what he said. He said there are people that are becoming more aware to the overall geopolitical and the political realm, and they are starting to see the what? The iniquity. See, he's saying that's not we the people. That's the masses of people that's being exploited.
The troublemakers.
By the people, the we the people that he's speaking about. So he differentiated between the two. I got the word right there. So in that distinguished difference, he was saying that there are people that are actually been inequitably treated. There's an inequitable treatment. There's an They've been exploited, subjugated, and enslaved. And that it's been a matter of iniquities, which means that there's a moral debasement that's going on.
Not on their behalf.
No, on their behalf against the other individuals of the world. And the other individuals of the world are starting to see that and becoming aware of that. And that's why they become a threat, because now you can't control them.
Yeah, so the point that I'm making and the questions I'm asking, they're facetious.
Yes.
And the point that I'm making is the audacity of you people to have some kind of self-actualization.
Sovereignty.
Yeah. The audacity of these people.
And if you do it, we're going to kill you.
Because that's easier.
Because you leave us no other option if you don't fall under our control.
And this is so huge, Dave, because it goes all the way back to, and again, there's so much race in this. And this is the whole thing when you got back to a simple term back in the day as uppity. Who in the heck do you people think that you are?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're pretty, I mean, Z-Big was pretty bold. And that was one of the things that I did appreciate about Z-Big, is that he told things. He actually told things. And you have to know his history and everything else, but his daughter is still on air. And I'll never forget when she said, who is, she said, and it was paraphrased this way, who are they that is the political figures to tell people what to think? That's our job here at the media to tell people what to think. See, that's that control. That's why she got that position, because of nepotism. You know, that's why she's in that overall very important position to uphold the Constitution of them, the people, against us, we, the people. They say we, the people, for them, meaning to exploit in iniquity everyone else. And how do they do that? They do that by stealing our energy. They do that by schooling. They do that by wars. Because war starts to thin out the rebellious herd. War starts to thin out the challenges of people. War starts to thin out the overall those that say, no, we're not going to engage in that. War starts to thin, because what does war give them the ability to do? To go around as massive political serial killers uninterrupted, unchallenged, unquestioned, through nationalistic religious practices, through nationalism. And the whole setup is there because they control mainstream media, because mainstream media is their sacred ground. Because their sacred grounds is how they're able to practice their overall lifestyle. It's through the media. And they propagandize their agenda. Because their agenda is able to be fulfilled because they teach us in school to obey. And to be controlled and not to have a spirit to refuse to be controlled. And it's huge. And so this whole thing is gonna be playing out in the war scenario, because as Z-Big said, you got too many darn people that are saying no now.
Uppity.
Too many uppity. As, yeah. You, as Keith likes to put it, too many uppity. The audacity for you to want to take control of your talents and your ability for your prosperity. Who are you? Your talents and your abilities and your prosperity is mine. And if you look at the overall position that the stealing or the manipulation to get that from people, they were able to create weapons that will defend their position. But the bad thing is that they've actually got the people to use the weapons against themselves for their cause. And that biggest weapon is the theory of is the overall execution and game planning of war. As soon as we start to see what war truly is, and what it really brings, and what its true agenda is, and who's the real casualties of war. See, the civil war, the war is a asymmetrical campaign to control people. This is why we have infinite wars throughout the world. It may be just in this region or that region or here or there. But see, what we don't know is that we don't know about some people in Turkestan, or some people in Hungary that are like, yo, we don't want this anymore. We want self-determination and sovereignty. See, they don't want those individuals to connect with you and everyone else, because then you'll see what? An allegiance to where you can get organized. That's what this system really, that's the stronghold, one of the strongholds that this system really has over the general population is their organization. They're organized in their agenda. And they want to keep everything that the people want to do decentralized, so there can be no common duality of the overall force multipliers. It eliminates the force multipliers. Because once you start to have that, now you're getting real momentum. And that momentum is registered on their overall, in their algorithms. Their algorithms of Facebook, their algorithms of Twitter, their algorithms of CPI, Consumer Price Index. Many of their overall algorithms are actually put into place for a reason that they're not disclosed.
They're not going to disclose it.
They're not going to disclose it.
You know, one of the things that where you can see this, and you hear it all the time, Dave, and just how they, you know, the devil says he's subtle. You know, he does things in such a smooth way that you don't even notice them. And this is what we're talking about here. So you were talking about the media. And one of the first things that you hear about the media is the liberal media.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how's the media so liberal if the conservatives own it all?
I don't know, Keith. The Civil War.
Well, it's not a civil war. It's like what you were saying again. It's subtlety. It's the devil coming in and convincing the people of one thing,
right?
When reality is just the opposite.
Something totally different. Yeah.
And
the key to magic.
Right. The conservative owned media is not going to be liberal in nature. It's going to let you think that it's liberal in nature while it molds your thought to a certain process, which in the end leads them directly down the path that they want them to go.
Yeah.
And this is how all this other stuff, you know. Now, Willie Lynch, those of you are familiar with Willie Lynch. Now, oftentimes you'll hear an argument because the argument is, well, that Willie Lynch letter never existed. Well, it might have or it might not have. But the methodology acts most definitely did and was incorporated.
It's apparent.
Absolutely.
It's here. It's always been, yes.
And it's shown to have been manifested yes. in what the slaves did, our yes. slaveholders did.
From then and now.
From then and now.
Yes.
And it's just impressive. Like what they said in the letter. They said, you know what, you incorporate these things and the time will come in which you won't have to worry about it because they do it to themselves.
They do it to themselves. And you know what, Keith, because you got to get ready to get out of here. But I posted a YouTube video and about this whole thing, because he talked about the liberal media and the conservative media, and you know they both fund the war. You know, they both fund the war. I posted inside of Tando Radio Show, inside of BTR community, a YouTube video of someone, and it says military tanks and hardware. For those of you that are in BTR community, take a look at that. And this was out of, this was a couple of days ago. And you see the massive, from what I can see, I see APVs, armored personnel carriers, and tanks. And this line of military hardware, now I don't know the direction that they're going in because I'm not from that area. I can't determine north, south, east. I'm not familiar with this area inside of. This is in, where was it, Keith? In Louisiana?
Yeah.
If you look at this overall YouTube video, the overall massive troop movements and assets for war have been going on for a very long time. It's not even subtle now. When I was growing up as a child, when I was in the military and up into the parts of my adulthood, I never saw anything like this, and I lived by railroads in some major places. But I did see it during Operation Desert Shield when I was in the military, going to Operation Desert Storm. Then I saw it with the buildup for the overall Afghan occupation Now, this one is for, the next one is World War III. So it's right there all in front of us. So we definitely need to prepare. So listen, everyone, we're never going to get out of here. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And we will be back on Friday. No show tomorrow. So make sure that you have a good, if those of you that celebrate the holidays, enjoy the family. That's really what it's all about. But also, make sure that if you're asking for a fortune, make sure to give one away. And it's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Much love, much respect. We'll catch you all soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. It's happened before. In 2000, Saddam Hussein announced Iraqi oil would be traded in euros, not dollars. Sanctions and an invasion followed.